he done through to bring him safely back to good health. And Lord, we just pray that you'll be with the pastor now as he brings your word. Just help us, Lord, to understand it. And Lord, just be at this church, help to grow and help to be the witness it needs to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, let's look at Galatians to begin with. We're going to look at some scripture tonight. That's what we do here at Faith. We look at scripture, amen?
Amen.
And Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1 is describing a situation where a brother or sister falls into sin. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, and then this phrase, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Ye which are spiritual. And that's what this series is. That's where this series started. We looked at that verse and talked about restoring. Brothers, we should be in the restoration business. Amen?
Amen.
And we should be emissaries of the Lord and help people. But for the grace of God, there go I. Amen. Amen. And so we lift people up and encourage people. People need encouragement. They get discouragement in the world. We need encouragement. And so out of that, we've looked at the fact that what is a spiritual person? Ye that are spiritual, we talk about being spiritual. People say, man, that guy must be spiritual. Well, we really don't know. You just know you, right? Right. It's a personal thing. It's to be filled with the Spirit, not just indwelt, but be filled with the Spirit. As a matter of fact, if you go back up to chapter 5, the Bible tells us that some things that are important. Look at verse 16. This I say then, he talks about liberty. And we're not prisoners. We're not on the chain as Christians. We have liberty. We have the wonderful life. If there's wonderful life, there is. That's a Christian. We have a wonderful life in Christ. And we have so many things. We're rich in Christ. And so it says in verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, if you're going to walk in the Spirit, you're going to have to be filled with the Spirit. So there's no question that if a person is spiritual, that means they're filled with the Spirit. That means everything else is emptied out. And so as we think about this, we're backing up, and we're going to back from chapter 6, we're going back into 5:22 and verse 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, or goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit. And we're talking about the fact, and we're looking at the fact that, and we're learning that the fact that if I am walking in the Spirit, if a spiritual person, then there's going to be fruit that's showing. Mm-hmm. You think about picking a piece of fruit or seeing a piece of fruit; it's enjoyable, and you need to have the right. There needs to be the right kind of fruit, right? You don't expect to walk up to an apple tree and pick an orange, okay? So the fruit of the Spirit. God says here, if you were a tree hanging off you, this fruit would be hanging off, and it would be recognizable. Mm-hmm. And so last week we looked at the fact that love, and the epicenter of love is where we get to understand love is God. For God so loved the world. And so the first fruit of the Spirit is love. Mm-hmm. And so the second is joy. Now, by the way, I was looking at the fact that they have trees, apple trees, that they have gone and taken a branch from another kind of apple tree and grafted it on an apple tree. Mm-hmm. I've seen that. And so, and they've grafted several different kinds of apples on one apple tree, and when it bears fruit, there's all kinds of different apples on there. Mm-hmm. There's going to be all kinds of fruit, and that's talked about in verse 22 and 23. You should be displaying the fruit This should be seen in your life. It should be evident by others. They should not have to search for it. They should not have to pull it out of you. It should be shining. It should be there hanging so folks could see. So tonight I want us to look at the fruit of the Spirit, joy. Joy. The word joy means feeling of delight or happiness or satisfaction. Now that's the Mr. Webster's dictionary meaning. And we're not looking at Mr. Webster's. We're looking at the holy word of God, the holy Bible. And so joy, spiritually speaking, is the feeling of delight, happiness, satisfaction. Now listen to this. Dependent on Jesus rather than the world and what is going on around us.
Amen.
Let me say that again. Joy is a feeling of delight, happiness, satisfaction that is dependent on Jesus rather than the world and what is going around us. The word in Galatians 5:22 means to experience joy. Have you experienced joy? Do you experience it on a regular basis? The joy of the Lord is something that comes, it's not something that comes and goes depending on circumstances. That's how we live. Now you keep going through life with that broken down way of living your Christian life, and you never have joy. What does it take for something to steal your joy? Mm-hmm. Have you made up your mind that you're not going to let Darian steal your joy, Marissa? You've got to make up your mind. I'm not going to let this steal my joy. just when you get a good dose of the Word of God and you commune with God and you soon as you move and take your next step, something's going to be around the corner to try to steal your joy.
It's true. Amen.
Now, I want us to think about joy. This is a fruit of the Spirit. We should have joy. We should have joy. I meet too many Christians that don't have joy. I'm not talking about the dishwashing liquid. I'm talking about the joy of the Lord. So let's think about some things and help me with some scriptures tonight. We're going to turn to some scriptures. Turn to John chapter 15, everyone, and we'll look at John chapter 15. And this is a great verse, and we've looked at it in our Sunday morning messages, but tonight I want us to look at this concerning the fruit of the Spirit. I want us to look at the provisions of our joy. The provision of our joy. What provides, this is a fruit of the Spirit. And I want to say that over and over again. God indwells us with His Spirit, and as we yield to His Spirit, there is joy. There's joy. Now notice verse 11 of chapter 15. These things have I spoken unto you. What things? Well, I'm the true vine, my Father's a husbandman, every branch. He's talking about connectivity. Okay, he's talking about bearing fruit. And it says this, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy may be full. You say, preacher, what's that saying? The context is the vine, the branches. That means if we are connected to Jesus, he can provide us joy.
Amen.
He provides joy. Joy is provided by Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection for salvation. If they're provided, there is no joy apart from a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can conjure it up, you can fake it, but anybody, you meet people, they got the joy is their next drink out of the bottle, their next high, their next this, their next this. They've got to win a trophy, they've got to run this, they've got to make this much money, they've got to do this, they've got to learn this. There's always, and they are exhausted as people. They're broken, and they have no real joy. So joy is provided by Jesus Christ. Make no mistake. Number two, I want you to notice this. The person behind our joy. The person behind our joy. Look at verse 15, or chapter 15, verse 11. Are you there? Say amen.
Amen.
These things have I spoken unto you that... You might want to circle this. My joy. Hold on there for a minute. My joy, he says. He did not just joy, but he says my joy. And you say, preacher, you think that that's the same joy that Paul's talking about in Galatians. Oh yeah. Yeah, and he talks about it in Philippians. Paul had the joy of the Lord. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10 says this. Then said he unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Wow. And then he says, my joy. He says, hey, Jesus says, I'm going to save you. I'm going to give you a home eternal. I'm going to indwell you with the Spirit. I'm going to make intercession for you. And all these things, you can list a legal pad. And then on top of that, Glade, he says, I'm going to give you my joy.
Amen.
Now, it's not borrowed. There's no expiration date on it. He says, I want my joy. I'm going to give you my joy. Wow. That's supernatural joy. That's divine joy. That's joy that the world cannot give, or another person cannot give to you.
Amen.
That's why when we sit down with two young people and they say, you know, we love each other and we want to get married, my first question is, why do you love each other? And they look at me the same way you are. Because a lot of people don't know why they love each other. My next question is, can you live without her? Can you live without him? You know, this is a hard question. You say, why do you ask this hard questions? Because I don't like to officiate a wedding that's going to end in divorce.
Amen.
Not worth it.
Amen.
I'm not being cold, but I'd rather do a funeral than a wedding sometimes. But you have two Christians who know Jesus, and they have his joy, and they want to come together based on that joy and based on his will. It's a whole different story. There's no problem there. Mm-hmm. He says, my joy. It's not something you get at Walmart or Kmart. Amazon doesn't even have it. Jesus does. He says, I'm going to give you my joy. Wow. Now, I want that, don't you?
Amen.
I want that. You say, well, it's eternal joy. He is eternal. Never ending. It's not joy you have to conjure up. It's right there. And so I want you to understand, my joy, the same joy that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has is ours. Jesus' joy is different than the empty joy the world gives. Joy, and let me say this, joy is a byproduct of the filling of the Spirit. You don't turn on the joy light without the filling of the Spirit.
Amen.
Without the walking of the Spirit. You can put a smile on your face, but you can be frowning inside. They have to say, at the place over there, does chicken, my pleasure. They get a kick out of it when I say my pleasure. They have to say that. When we got to Walmart, when you get to Walmart over here in Bowie, I remember it came. Remember the Walmart came to Bowie? And they give you smiley buttons. There was greeters there. They're not there anymore. No smiles. Everybody's running around with their phones. Where's this? I don't know. I just work here. It's the same with everything. Same with Lowe's and Home Depot and everything, and so it's a joy is a byproduct. Let's look at some scriptures together. Amen.
Amen.
Let's do sort of a, it's not a sword drill, but let's go look at Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew 8. ATE. So then the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. You think he believed in Jesus?
Yes,
you think he believed in what Jesus could give him something? Well, that same Jesus that gave that centurion life gives us joy.
Amen.
Look at Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Says that, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with what? Great joy. Luke 24:52. Great joy. Look at John chapter 16. John chapter 16 and verse 21. It says, a woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for what?
For
joy that a man is born into the world. Okay, now guys, we don't know anything about that, but Marissa can say amen. Okay, Acts chapter 15. I'm just looking at some verses to give you, and this is just a few verses that have to do with joy, and I want to just sort of whet your appetite with this and hope you'll do a word study and a word search, because there's more uses of joy than these verses. In verse 3 of chapter 15, Acts, it says, and being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phinehas and Samaria, declaring the conversion that they're talking about Gentiles getting saved. Mm-hmm. Notice what it says. And they caused great joy unto all the brethren.
Amen.
Those brethren had joy for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Philippians 1:25. Well, while we're in Acts, go to 8, chapter 8. Acts chapter 8 and 8. I don't mean to hurt you, Darian. I mean, Acts chapter 8, verse 8. It says, and there was great joy in that what? In that city. What happened? Well, Saul was tearing churches up. But they everywhere people went, they were preaching the gospel, and there was joy in the city. Look at Philippians chapter 1 and verse 5. I'm sorry, 1:25. Philippians 1:25. Notice what it says there. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and what?
Joy
of faith. Wow. That takes another step. So who's behind our joy? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see the word joy used in these scriptures and how there was joy because of the gospel. And it all stems from Jesus Christ. It all stems from God. And so the provision of joy and then the person of joy is Jesus Christ. Now I want you to notice and I want you to understand. You say, preacher, I'm not joyful all the time. Well, I want you to know that the joy we're talking about, the fruit of the Spirit we're talking about, and scripture, the permanence of joy, of our joy. The permanence of our joy. Okay, we're not talking about being silly.
Amen.
We're talking, and listen, the Christian life is an inside out thing. You understand that? Let me explain. If you go to a church and they're harping on how people look as to where they're going when they die, there's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, if a person gets saved, they ought to look like they're saved.
Amen.
And God will teach them that.
Amen.
And with the help of fellow Christians that love, that needs to be. And examples. What the world needs is examples of Christians. They don't need people that have bumper stickers and talk a good game. They need the people that really walk. People. So when you get saved, God saves your soul. He saves you inside. And he saves you inside out. When you have joy, it is in your soul. You don't write a sign on your forehead, J-O-Y. See, it's not, just because you smile doesn't mean you have joy. Just because you're excited does not mean you have joy. So the permanence of joy, notice what back in chapter 15 of John, what it says. These things have I spoken unto you, right? Are you with me?
Yes.
That my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. That word remain and full, it means to abide, and that word full means to be perfect, mature.
Amen.
It means to be the real deal. Any of y'all ever read about fool's gold? People think they got gold and it's not gold. There's real gold and there's not real gold. And there's real joy and there's not real joy. You'll get tired of trying to work yourself up, psych yourself. It's this Christianity, this broke down, no good, losing oil, making noise, machine of conjuring up joy is not going to work. It gets old real quick. Huh? Mm-hmm. You ever taken a loaf of bread home from the store and you get it and the next day you could open it up and it's got mold in it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, mold don't taste that bad, but you just don't want to eat that. Say, have you eaten it? Yeah, not knowing. But I guess it's penicillin. But you think about it, it gets old. Right? We here tonight, we know what it is to try to fake it, and it just doesn't work. It doesn't work. And so he says that my joy might remain in you. This can only be true if we're walking in the Spirit. You can have joy if you're walking in the Spirit. You don't have joy without the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God filling you. And this is only for he that is spiritual. So we've seen the provision of joy. That's it comes from God. The joy is his joy, not our joy, and it's permanent. Now let's just take some time and let's get up close and personal. Up close and personal. Kind of like a yearly physical exam. The doctor pokes and prods you. No fun, right? Let's do this. Let's ask this question. Do I have this joy? Let's go with a checklist, okay? I'll give you some things, and you check them off, and these are questions you ask yourself. What gives me joy? Does the misfortune of other people give you joy? Does when your fellows, brothers, sisters in Christ are hurting, does that give you joy? And let me ask you this. When somebody else, God blesses them real big, does that give you joy?
Amen.
Does it give you joy or are you jealous?
Mm.
Right?
Right. Amen.
That's up close and personal.
Why didn't you do that for me, Joy?
That's how we think. Is what gives me joy? Is what that thing that gives me joy, is it from Jesus Christ? Is that from Christ? Is that a godly thing that gives me joy? Do I experience this joy when I'm filled with the Spirit? They will, preacher, I don't know what it means to be filled with Spirit. It means to be emptied of you. Get right as far as you know between you and God and ask the Spirit of God to fill you. He indwells you. Just take control and let him have control. Does that joy last for more than temporary? What steals your joy? What steals your joy? Can I focus on the sweet things of life? Turn to Philippians. Let's just look at Philippians a little bit. I looked at Philippians today. Look at verse 3, chapter 1, verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. That's a sweet thing. Remember, he's... Look at me. Paul had dealt with people. Are you understand? You with me? Paul had helped this church get started. You remember those guys, Paul and Silas, and probably Timothy was with him. This is the second journey, his second missionary journey. One of the probably the greatest church planner ever, greatest missionary ever, Paul, the Apostle Paul. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. And he said, we're going to start some churches. And these guys are going with him. And next thing you know, he wanted to start a church here and thought about starting a church here and said, well, no, the Spirit doesn't want us to start a church here. Did Paul dwell on that? No. He went to the next place where the Spirit led. He was walking in the Spirit. When Paul was walking, he was walking in the Spirit. And here in Philippians, he doesn't say, yeah, young lady, I remember you were yelling at us and cussing at us and fussing at us, and I turned around and you got right in your mind, got right with your Lord and got saved. And he talked, well, I remember that stinky jail. He didn't mention that. All he said was, I thank my God upon every member. He was thinking about the sweet things. Huh? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Your joy, a person with joy is going to consider the sweet things, and those negative things are not important. You see, negative and bad things steal your joy.
Amen.
You say, well, preacher, what about those two ladies? Look at chapter 4. Let me see if it... Let's. I'm just coming off the top of my head here. Chapter 4. Verse 2. I beseech you, Odias and Syndicate, that ye be of the same mind, Lord. You said, what's happening here? Two women having a fight. And he says, in verse 3, he says, I entreat thee also, Truyokos. He says, brother, help them, would you? Help these women. Poor guy. And in verse 4 it says, look, and then right after that, what does 4 say? Verse 4 say,
Rejoice
in the Lord always. He'd already forgotten about it. He's not going to let, I'm not going to let anybody, anything steal my joy. Ain't happening. God willing. That's amazing. Recollections, the recollections he had were sweet. He didn't think of the bad things. Don't think of the bad things you know about people. Think of the good things. And we struggle with that. Have you ever been mistreated? People done stuff to you? Yeah. If you're in the world, it's going to happen, right? Yeah. Ye shall have tribulation. But don't focus on that. Focus on the joy and the sweet things. And then, not only did Paul have the recollections that were sweet, those recollections, he interceded for people. Look at what it always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. He says, I'm praying for you. He says, I delight to pray for you. I can't wait to pray for you. It gives me joy to pray for you. Huh? You see, it's like It's like if you've ever been sprayed by a skunk. I mean, it gets all over you. And you have to get in the bathtub with whatever, and you got to get all of you cleaned off. And when joy permeates your life, it gets everything. It gets everything. Say, well, preacher, I got this person I work with. You just don't understand. I don't, but God does. Mm-hmm. And he wants you to pray for him. And he wants you to be joyful to pray for them. He says, pray for your enemies. Huh? I mean, we as Christians the past several years, we've been latching onto this conservative stuff and this Republican stuff and all this craziness and liberals and this and that the other, and really that political level, that political realm is just kind of a waste of our mind, thought time.
True, brother.
Right.
It's not whether you're this or whether it's that, whether you're born again.
Right.
Can I pray for you? Praying for people instead of putting them down.
Right.
With joy. Well, God, you said for me to pray for them, so I'm praying for them. Bless them if you can. So how do you know people do? Because that's the way I think sometimes. I gotta rein it back. Come on now.
Amen.
We're real. Amen. And so he says and by the way, Philippians, Paul was in jail writing this.
Wow.
Right. It's true.
He was in jail. Those were the jails back then, were the jails you check in but you don't check out. Who or what steals your joy? Who steals your joy? Who takes your joy from you? Look at verse 10 of chapter 4. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were careful, but ye lacked opportunity. He just loved these people, and they were joyful. They gave him joy because he had the joy of the Lord. I want that joy.
Amen.
I want that kind of joy. I want that brand of joy. You ladies, go out there. Some guy was on the social media today, and he said, I paid this for this and this for this and this for this. And the guy said, where'd you shop? He said, Aldi. Well, if Aldi prices are going up, we're in deep trouble. And ladies, the other day, Miss Creed says, well, I need you to get some cheddar cheese, and she put the brand down. And I got the store brand. She said, did you look at my text? I said, yeah. She said, I get so many points when I scan that on this app. He said, what are you going to do? I'm going to go buy her two or three of them. But it just wasn't the brand. You all ever eaten off-brand cereal?
Mm-hmm.
You got to do a lot to it to make it even taste. I'm not saying taste good. I'm saying you got to do something to make it taste. Just because it's blue doesn't mean it's blueberry. They just colored it blue and gave it to you and said, sucker. Brand name, in many instances, makes a difference. Anybody ever put aftermarket parts on your car? You have an aftermarket car. The dealer costs, but it works, right? That's all. Not super related, just illustration, but the brand of joy we're talking about is supernatural, divine joy that is the fruit of the Spirit. Now, here's the reward for that joy. Here's the reward for that joy. You will influence others with the joy of the Lord. If you have the joy of the Lord, somebody's going to come to you one time and say, what is wrong with you? You never get mad. You never did it. Well, you just don't see inside me. But I'm not going to let anybody steal my joy. Satan comes in. He starts to get out the door. But I call on the Lord. He grabs it back from me. It doesn't. It's still there. I got joy. I got that eternal joy of the Lord. When you have the joy of the Lord, let me just tell you something, and I'm not going to mention, but there's a lot of religions, they do not have the joy of the Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying? When your relatives die, you can still have the joy of the Lord. I'm not talking about being disrespectful, but you can have the joy that you'll see him again. For years, years and years, we tugged on my pop-up sport coat at the front of the church when my daddy would preach on salvation and saying, pop-up, please go get saved. Pop-up, please go get saved. We love you. Pop-up, please get saved. My grandfather, if you look for grandfather in the dictionary, his picture's there. He was the best grandpa. My mom, he didn't have any boys. So my brother and I were his boys. And he treated us like royalty. He gave us everything. He loved us. He didn't know how to express love, but he loved us. And they did everything. My grandmother and grandpa, my mom gave it. And Pop-Up finally got saved. A faithful member of a church went to his house and led him to Christ.
Amen.
And I will see him again. I sat there dripping morphine down his open little mouth. He looked like a ghost. He was a robust man. When they carried him out in the body bag, it was just not much of him. That bone cancer had just reduced him to bones and skin. But he's not bones and skin anymore. And one day he's going to have a new body. And I miss my pop-up. I every time I see a goose flying or go hunting, I think of my pop-up. I sit there and think of stuff we did and things we did with him. And it just brings joy to my heart that I'm going to see him again.
Amen.
And when you have that joy of the Lord in your heart, people want what you have. And it's free. It's Jesus Christ in their heart. Mm-hmm. Amen? Yeah. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for your joy. Thank you that it's supernatural. Thank you that it remains. Thank you that it's permanent. And we pray that you bless as we do business with you in Jesus' name. Let's stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. God spoke to you tonight, and you want to get alone with him? You want to get alone with him? Let's receive an offering and
you give as the Lord directs. Father, bless the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're gonna hang out. What's that Friday? The 17th. We'll talk about Sunday school. We'll get together on it. Come out, get something to eat, chew the fat, chew the meat. Amen. Miss Anita, thank you so much for handling that back here. It's a blessing. I know. It's a learning process, and you've done great. We appreciate you.
Amen.
We appreciate you, Marissa, playing the piano. What a blessing. Amen. Well, let's stand to be dismissed in prayer. Good to see everybody. Brother Walter, close for us.
Yeah, Father, thank you, God, for teaching tonight. If I was a blessing to you, dear God. Like Pastor said, you see his papa again. I see my grandma again, dear God. I can relate to that. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for good teaching. Get us home safely. In just a minute, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Get some rest, Walter.